I'd like to welcome everyone for coming. We got just a call from the board supervisor who supports the library greatly. We appreciate all that you do for us. Chris, be sure, thank you very much for your open house and all the work you do. I've said this to anyone who listened, and not, it's not critical to anyone, but the library over here does more and has more involvement and is a community fixture for everyone in the community, and it's impressive.
Thank you. We very much strive to be what I call a center of community, and I really think that that's why libraries are going to survive. That when people say, do we even need libraries? I say libraries have to adapt just like everything else, and I know that all of us strive to be a center of community, and that it makes a world of difference.
Especially in a small community.
Exactly.
Oh, absolutely.
And we our people don't always have anywhere else
right.
to go, and so when we have something, it's a big deal to them. So, thank you.
All right, and welcome to our guests. If you'll take a look at the agenda that's presented, and we have closed session down at the end for a couple quick matters, but is there anything that we need to add to the agenda? Any topics of discussion?
We did get a copy of the 2018 library survey.
Okay.
So
we'll add that under agenda additions 2018?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right, anything else? All right, we'll go to number four, public comment and guest remarks. Would anyone present care to speak? If you would, just state your, no, I mean, you don't have to stand up unless you want to, but just state your name
okay.
for the so we can have it in our records. And
I'm Francis J. Copenhaver, Jr. Mm-hmm. Most people just call me Joe, convenience. I'm the treasurer of the Frederick and E. Philip E. Copenhaver Memorial Library Fund, and I'm here with a few items and some questions at some time.
Well, I mean, you go right ahead.
Okay, well, I'll take this opportunity. Thank you for this opportunity to come and visit with you folks and bring some items to you for your information. I'm sure I'll stay on my track. You know, you don't check this thing.
You're good. You take your time.
I have to follow the list or I get lost. And we have an item here. This is the background of our relationship with the library.
Thank you.
It's located in Marion. And I believe you have one person absent.
Thank you.
We actually have two absent.
Yes.
Two absent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, let me give you two more then.
Okay.
And what this is not for you necessarily to try to read at this time, but I had a couple of questions that have come to mind since the change in the status from the regional library to the Smith County Public Library System. We're interested in the future plans for the library, and like many of our other citizens, trying to keep up with the changes and where we're leading forward. I've been reviewing some of the trustee meeting minutes. I know Sarah was talking about rearranging some of the things in the library, and we would like to be most interested in that, and also specifically for the Southwest Virginia Heritage Library, which was funded largely in part by our family efforts and the Mountain Lodge Incorporated, and that room was built for that purpose. Now, so the question would be, are there plans of disturbing that library or moving it or changes, and why?
Well, I can respond to that.
Please do.
And I appreciate this information you gave us, because I actually did research through the older documents that this refers to over the past month. And the reason for the room in the first place was because the available space for the local history materials had reached capacity. And we've reached that again. So we're investigating, you know, some rearrangement of the library for a couple of reasons. One is because we have gotten to the point where we really can't add any more materials to the current location of the Southwest Virginia Heritage Library. And we would like to do that because we get materials all the time, you know, that we would like to have people have access to and protected. And because local history is a very, very important thing for our library and our region. So what we have looked at possibly doing is, since we have had some staffing changes and some procedural changes based on, you know, some of the retirements we've had recently, we have a larger space on the ground floor where currently has been used for our technical services material processing, and also storage for other local history materials that have been digitized. It's a much larger room with much larger opportunity for expansion. So the idea that we're investigating is to relocate the library, the Heritage Library, to this larger space so that it can grow more easily. Everything that was provided before would be kept and just moved to a different location. And so we'd add to it, it has more wall space, it has more floor space, we have new technology. We would like to move all of our technology resources down to the ground floor where it can be used with the other technology resources we have down there at present so that we have like with like. So we have all the technology plus all of the archival stuff, including the Sausalito Heritage and the Sherwood Anderson materials, all of which, none of which circulate, down on the ground floor with staff who are specifically trained to help the public with these materials, and have the circulating collection on the top floor, so we have like with like. And, you know, we're just in the planning stages of this. So the first thing we're doing is we're going to look at that location there to make sure that it is suitable. Because, you know, there's like one small corner where there has been a little bit of leakage from when there's a lot of rain. I think it's happened like 3 times over 30 years, but it's still a concern. So we're going to look at that to make sure, see if we can correct that or at least block it off so it's not a problem. And, you know, and if so, to possibly move forward. And it's, you know, we definitely want to protect that collection at all costs. But the ideas were just, you know, simply to let it grow and expand in the same way that it grew and expanded to start in the first place.
Oh, these plans would move forward then, would they be brought to our...
Sir, no, it was not going to be done in a vacuum. We would definitely contact your organization.
A grave concern to us because of the valuable documents and items that are in there.
It's the same concern to us. There would be the same amount of security that there is now, with preferably more. The room where it would move to is locked and separate. People would have to be let into it the same way as it is now. We would have better means of actually for having our staff monitor the room because it's closer than to our staff than it is presently. And, you know, we're definitely wanting to, you know, treat that area and those materials as well as we possibly can. And so these plans would do that.
Another thing here, we were concerned about that being put kind of out of sight, out of mind, away from the public.
It would not be away from the public. It would still be advertised. We would still have signage up top. Our circulation public services area can still direct people to it. We have people coming for that materials all the time. They would be able to look at everything in one place. So we would have. Not only would those materials be in that other additional room, archival stuff for the microfilm, and we would move those down with those readers as well. So we have people who can train and troubleshoot the tech and who will know the background of the materials and how best to show the public how they work. And so we're doing this so it is more accessible, not less.
And if you've been told anything different, that would have been a misrepresentation of the actual facts.
Would the family be able to participate
of course.
In your
planning.
Most definitely, and that was always the idea.
We're hearing a lot of stuff floating around.
Yeah, and
I'm trying to get.
I appreciate that.
We are the kind of
the local.
Immediate local touch.
Which helps.
Only,
I think there was a lot
physically
of.
Here.
Yeah, there was a lot of discussion outside the library that never came directly to me. So, you know, I would be happy to discuss any of these plans or these thoughts with you or anyone else, because again, you know, this we want to make this a even larger feature, not, you know, something that we are not taking. You know, we don't think is important.
The family, I think, was concerned because. When this expansion for the library was still a dream, you know, we received letters to help us build this particular room.
I've read them all, and that was
that was wonderful.
As we
moved forward, you know, they were just
because we've always been participant with the library.
Sure,
Want to remain so.
Yeah. Well, and I would encourage you to just stop by anytime. I'm sure Mr. Farmer, his door's always open.
If you want to
walk around and
if I'm not there, if I'm there in the Marion location, my door is usually open. I do spend regular time at both of the other libraries in the county, but you know, I'm happy to accept phone calls and emails for any questions, and I'll respond as soon as I possibly can. We would definitely want, you know, the participation and the thoughts of the co-paper, you know, to help with this.
Of course, the thing that brought concern to us, and us be this, the family, was the fact that we were getting rumors and feedback that things were moving and we were going to change it, going to push it out of the way and turn that room into a pizza parlor.
Unfortunately,
that was just misinformation. Yeah. I apologize.
And we have a small group that just gets stuff going and it gets on Facebook. So please, if you hear something that's concerning, pick up the phone and call Mr. Farmer.
As you see, they have, through their efforts, a lot of money was contributed to create and build and furnish that room.
Yeah. And you know, and this, and, you know, so all everything would that has been donated and provided before would go to the other location. The same, you know, signage, dedications, everything that we have now would go to the new location. We'd probably add more, thanking you for all what you've done to have and how that area and that library has been given to our library and our
region. Does the room that you're looking into, does it have windows and light?
It does have windows. They're high. Primarily, the light is fluorescent, but there is sufficient light so that people can use it, and it is a safe, secure area.
Well, I know when your staff moves around where the library is currently located, they can see what's going on in the room.
They can, but they're far away.
They're moving around the library.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I know we have had a couple of reports where people have tried to sneak things out of the library that have been stopped.
Yeah,
staff.
And this way it would be even less. The security gates, the reference librarian are all closer to this room.
And they have rooms, I mean, the windows they could see in while people are in.
Yes, there are windows to that particular room, so we could monitor.
I was thinking, I'm thinking more of the interior windows for the staff to see.
There are those as well.
Light in this McComb.
Staff can see
into the room through the windows, and there's also a window in the door. So we can make any, you know, changes to that.
If you get it moved around, you need to bounce through a room.
Yeah, they can't go anywhere else. It's connected to the finance office, which is also locked off because of this money there. And it's actually would actually be more secure than it is presently.
Okay, but we just want to make sure that library was established to make sure, because it is a showcase for Southwest Virginia.
Yeah, it is, very much so.
All over.
Yeah, it is. It's a talking point, and
it brings people to Smith County.
For notoriety.
It's a great asset for our county, and the fact that it brings people from away from here who come to spend money here, they stay here because they want to go to that library.
Sure. It has its own now section of our new webpage. And we would, you know, we definitely keep directing people. It is, you know, it's something I talk about every time I talk with the press. It's how our local history collection and the Heritage Room are very important to our future plans, to our current situation, And we just want to continue and make it even larger and more significant than it already is.
Oh, I am.
Smith County has a very proud history.
Yeah.
Smith County is just a wonderful place. Now, I'm an import, and this is my home. It's just something that I've been admired in having those resources for genealogy research or historical documents and the Bibles and, you know, and looking at some of the past things that have been donated, it's just unbelievable. That has to be in an environmentally acceptable area.
And that would definitely be.
That witness really causes great concern.
Well, that, and we won't do anything until that is addressed. If it can be fixed, we won't do it. That was step one before anything else occurred.
Right.
Kind of what's interesting is that like the nice visibility.
It is.
Nice place to redo research.
Yeah, it is very nice. But in a new area, we also have more space for work tables.
Could we come by and see it?
Certainly, anytime you like. Right now, it is packed up with technical service materials and desks in there, so it may not look quite as big as it will be when, you know, that those desks are out.
Where are they going?
They were going to my office. So I have a large office on the top floor that is way bigger than I need.
Okay.
So I would move the technical services and processing area and network and cataloging station to where my office is. Mm-hmm. And the tentative idea for after the current room for the heritage room would probably be used for a teen room, because again it has windows, you can see everything, and it's got a lot of light. And then I would move down to the windowless cave at place on the first floor.
What would you take
big pictures on
that? Yeah, I would.
What would your teens be doing?
Young adult collections have different needs, so we have already moved the young adult book collection over to that area. As well as the graphic novel collection. We would probably have some multimedia in there. There's things we can, you know, with, you know, gaming systems, AV recording, because, you know, there's animation and sound recordings, and it would be a room for that because it's blocked off. It gives the teens their own space, and right now they don't have that in the library.
Would that be more conducive to an area that would be isolated from your main part of the library? Because the main part of your library is a quiet, peaceful place.
Well,
and the teens with the audio visual and the books and the activities going on there and the people going back and forth and
I promise you that Mr. Farmer will do things in an excellent manner.
I'm sure you feel free to stop by anytime.
The way it is now is, if you know, there is a thought for that. But if you move things away, teens won't go there. So it's part of actually directing them to a different location. And the modern library is not the old school, quiet study place. So our quiet study area will be downstairs with the reference area, with the technology, and where the new location for the heritage room would be. So that would be more of the, you know, traditional old school library area.
From you for the family to send out,
sure,
so they know what's going on. Get us advised to what's going on.
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Or status, or plans.
Yeah.
It would be
nice,
even just plans.
Sure.
We understand these are plans.
Yeah.
But we don't know what's going on.
I understand.
I'd much rather have it directly from you.
I'd be happy to.
Like I said, just swing by.
I can do it directly.
If you have email addresses,
make sure
Mr. Farmer gets them.
Saying what's going on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Glad to do it.
You don't do it on. You don't make change plans on a regular basis.
No, and as I've only been here a year and a half. So it's I am from here. I mean, my family history stuff is in that room just as well. And
that's what it's there for.
Exactly. So I mean, that is a definite, you know, focal point of my view for the library going forward.
If you saw how that room developed, the first they had a special. It was named Special Collections Room.
Mm-hmm.
And then they hadn't, was still, then the Copenhagers got, were kind of looking for a place for our things, and the Copenhagers got in touch with the library, kind of got talking, and they said, well, then we'll put it in there. Then they called it the Copenhagen Room.
Yeah.
We said, no,
blueprints, and we're saying.
No, it's Southwest Virginia. It's not intended to be for our family.
Sure.
No, but it was done as a setup, as an honorary to...
It's a lovely collection.
And that's fine.
So, yeah.
And I think going forward, you know, we were talking about libraries and their focus and their purpose in the future, and I think this is one of the things that a library will provide in the future, more and more, rather than just the books, because you can get books on Amazon, or you can get books from other sources now, but to have these options to go somewhere and look at documents. I do genealogy, so I appreciate that. When you can go and get these documents, and you're looking at, like, your great-grandpa's signature on something, it's a great feeling, so...
Yeah. We just want to make sure it was good access to the citizens of the county, of the area, and the visitors that come here.
As do we.
There's one document we always get a kick out of, and I know this is a little bit of an aside, but there's a wedding invitation in that collection that don't move you all. I'm sure you haven't gone through this great collection.
I haven't.
And I guess, and I've heard of that, and it was just before the turn of the 20th century. It was in the 19th century, right at the end of that, and there's this wedding invitation that everybody's nice printed. I mean, it was just like you would today, beautifully. And you're invited to the wedding at 6 a.m. Everybody, we've debated that around the family for quite a while, at the hour, and decided that, well, let's see, it's after milking and before breakfast.
Before the tours begin.
Anyway, that's me to hear that. You know, you understand our concern, because
sure.
We, our family and the Mountain Lodge and all have been, we have a lot of co-neighbors and that, or connections, have invested a lot of money. And we want to kind of keep an eye on,
Sure, certainly.
You invest money, you want to, and we're citizens of the county.
Sure.
Well, if you wanted to go see what he's talking about,
The door's always open.
Call up and say, are you there? We're going to come over.
Happily, I'm almost always there on Tuesday and Thursday.
Okay.
And,
that's
and
a help.
Yeah,
I chased you the other day.
I'm sorry about that. I think I was in...
You were everywhere.
Everywhere that day.
Everywhere we tried, you were there.
On Mondays, I'm in all three.
He said his other line on the job description is haul things. So.
You know, my job description when I first came here, again, I'll be quick and very brief, was Joe's wife. Everybody knows me as Joe's wife. I'm Karen.
Nice to meet you, Karen.
We've met before when we did the presentation.
Oh, right, okay.
Books and things. Yeah.
That was nice.
Her portfolio.
And we were members of our family. In fact, our daughter, Catherine, Katie Copenhaver Davidson, was instrumental in getting, I think it's a Philippi Bible came in recently.
Yes.
And the Philippi family was trying to find a place to locate it. And they were looking at two or three options, and she was successful in encouraging them to bring it to the Smith County Heritage Library. So we've been able to snag some things.
Yeah.
Well, we thank you.
Thank you.
And where's the Alberta that you talk about? Where's she from?
Alberta? From here?
Here.
From
like... You know where the Edwolf Road and Interstate connect?
Because I knew some of Copenhagers down on the Meadowview side. That's where he's not.
That's a working county branch. That's right there on that corner where there's the farmland. That's, she grew up in the house that was there. The house is gone now. It's an empty lot.
Yeah, okay.
But right there, just off of the Edwolf Road, right there. In fact, the Crab Orchard Farm used to go all the way to the railroad tracks. And then the highway department decided they wanted to put in a numbered highway system in US 11. Then they decided they wanted to put in 81, and another slice came off. So.
Aunt Roberta's picture is in her portrait, is in the heritage room, along with her brother, father.
My father.
Okay. So that's how we're connected.
Real movers and shakers on getting this going, along with the other family members, Don Copenhaver from Pulaski County Way.
So,
okay.
Well, all right.
Well,
thank you for your
time.
For
that.
So much.
No problem.
Appreciate your time.
Anything else? Yes.
I'd just like to thank all of you all for your service. Doing a great job. All the comments I get and all my constituents in the Sawville District says the library's running better now than it ever has. So you're doing a great job, and we really appreciate it. We've got a good leader over here taking care of things, and the board is all doing a great job. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. So we'll go to number five, approval of the minutes. You have two sets of minutes in front of you. We have the October 16th meeting. Is that the one that had the corrections made to it? That was the one that Ms. Tate had requested a correction, which has been taken care of. So I guess we can take a look at that, and if you get a motion to adopt the October 16th minutes.
I'll make that motion.
Have a motion and a second. All those in favor? Well, it's unanimous. So we'll adopt the October 16th minutes. We also have in front of you a copy of the November 8th board meeting. And time to look at those. If I could get a motion to adopt those minutes.
I'll make that motion. I read them.
All right. And we got a second, so that's unanimous. And just so that everyone knows, we're going to go back to starting in July. We'll be sending all the minutes from the July meeting up until through these two approved ones to the Board of Supervisors. We've had a member request to have those in our packets, and we've been doing that. And then it kind of, when we had some changeover, it might have gotten, you know, slid over, but we'll get caught up on that, and they'll appreciate that.
And I apologize for that.
No, there's absolutely nothing to apologize for. Because if they have any questions, you know, I'm sitting there every day, they can ask me.
Thank you.
You know, my memory's not that bad yet. All right. Then we have approval of disbursements. And if you take a look, the first thing we have the expenditures dated October 31st. If anyone has any questions or comments. Hearing none, can I get a motion to adopt the expenditures as presented for October 31st? We got a motion and a second, so that is unanimous. I'm the unanimous person.
Gotcha.
All right, so that was October 31st. And then we have the purchase journal and the general fund. We had had the discussion at our last meeting, and I think everyone here feels very comfortable with where we are financially. Obviously, we have areas where we've overspent just a little because of certain issues.
We've made progress.
But along with that, Mr. Farmer, he understands the importance of working within the budget, like all of us do. So while we have had an individual express some concern, I feel that concern is very unwarranted, and we will abide by our budget like we've always done since this board has been in effect. Now, does anyone have any questions about the general fund or the purchase journal? And I'll just go ahead and throw in there, and the financial statement as presented. All right, hearing none, can I get a motion to adopt those three items?
Make the motion.
All right, I have a motion and a second, and that would be unanimous.
We're going to be doing a lot of that.
I'm sorry, I can't help you with that one.
Sorry.
And just to let you know, I spoke with Ms. Smith. Of course, her roads are real bad, and she was a little concerned getting out and driving. But she is very diligent at getting her information and coming by and meeting Mr. Farmer and asking a lot of questions. I also talked with Ms. Tate. Unfortunately, she had, I ran into her at a viewing that I was attending, and one of her good friends had passed away, and she had a second one to attend tonight, and she sends her apologies. But like I said, we'll make sure we get her her packet of information. I'm sure she'll come and ask any questions or bring them to the next meeting. All right. And you stop me if I skip something, because right now I'm going to the director's report, number seven.
I just want to have a comment,
yes.
Rick, about, not for this meeting, obviously, but we were going to look at the insurance, and that has to happen soon.
Yes.
If we're going to meet certain deadlines.
Right. The deadline for that, I believe, was in April, but we said we needed to do something January, February. Really what we need to do is we need to, I guess that needs to be the main thing on the agenda in January, to have all the information presented. I don't know when the local choice and Mr. Walt Norman's in charge of the state plan. We'll ask when the renewal rates come out, because they give you that opportunity. You can request the change at the same time that they're giving you the renewal rates. And then what they can do is they can say, these are the renewal rates for what you have, and these are the renewal rates if you're looking to make a change. And they give you that period of time to make the adjustment or to figure out what you're going to do, and then send them the appropriate paperwork. So if you would put that January insurance hot and heavy, because we really need a decision by, I would say, February at the latest.
Yeah.
Obviously, that will have a financial impact that we'll have to take a look at also. And if they can't get us, I mean, I don't think they're going to give you renewal rates starting in January. But we can kind of base that probably off county rates to give us a general idea. And then we can have that discussion financially with the understanding that it could be a little better or it could be a little worse depending on when those numbers do show up. But that should give us a good starting point. Okay. Does anyone else have any other questions or comments about insurance? All right. So, director's report.
Okay. As first things, we talk about what the Friends of Libraries have done. And they've been very active this past month. For Saltville, there have been several programs they have paid for. Their new storage building, which was paid for by the Friends Group, has been installed.
It looked excellent.
It's a thing of beauty.
They had the reception tonight. They've had several art programs. The Saltville Group is very, very helpful financially. And we very much appreciate all that they do.
As a total, I think I added up that with the building, they've contributed $7,000 this year for programmings, for including the building.
Saltville, specifically, I mean, all the programming is good at all locations. Saltville has been above and beyond the past couple of months, and we very much appreciate that. And it couldn't not be done without the help of the Friends. And the Friends in Chilhowee, they paid for a large-scale dinner honoring Linda Dean, who retires on the 20th of December. That happened last Thursday. And there were about 70 people there. It happened at the Riverfront Restaurant in Chilhowee. It was really, really impressive. It wasn't just like here's banquet chicken. There was a selection of like 10 different entrees, all which they paid for, a cake and a program of several speakers. It was very, very nice.
Well, just for the notes, Miss Dean was my teacher when I was in high school, and I've known her and her husband, Mr. Dean, for a very long time, and you won't find any nicer people.
In Marion, they had, just Tuesday, we had the Marion's holiday potluck. The Friends of the Marion Group helped provide, the dessert for that from the Sisters Cafe, which is very nice. Also bought little gifts of various types of lotion for each of the staff there, and they sponsor the Santa event that they have every year at the Marion Library, and so they helped pay for the books that were given out that night, and they took pictures. It was a very nice event.
And the van looks very good with all the, as you say, swag connected to it.
The van is very festively adorned.
A lot of bling.
I took part in three of the local parades. On the first, it was Chilhowee. The second was Sauville, and last Friday, the 7th, was Marion. We got new magnets that delineate our van as the Smith County Public Library van. All of the magnets, there's one for each side, and they look exactly like the new signs. So you can definitely determine. So I switched them all out every parade I went to. So Sauville said Sauville, Marion said Marion, and Chihuahua said Chihuahua. And then we bought some other magnets and stuff that we put onto the thing. And we bought a hat for the van. It's kind of like you'd have like a pizza van or a taxi. It's attached by a magnet, or three strong magnets. It lights up. So I lit it up for the Marion parade last week. And you know, now it's, you know, so it's real hard to not know it's us when we're driving around providing services.
That'll become as recognizable as the old Barney bus used to be when you would get your physicals in school.
Other things, we are now very close to implementing our new new book ordering system with pre-processed materials. We're doing some tests on that right now. We also got the contract today on leasing items, so that we can more appropriately add items. So we can, some things that have a lower shelf life, like maybe a cookbook or a political book, we can lease for a less amount. And then after a certain period of time, then we can decide whether or not we want to keep it. We get to keep 25% as a matter of course. The other ones, if we decide we want to keep more than that, we can just pay them a few extra dollars and we keep it. So I think that's going to help make a more cost-effective collection development policy for now.
And does the new system allow you, I mean, I'm sure it probably does, you can pull like how much that book or whatever has been in circulation?
Yep. Yeah, okay. That'll help determine why we keep it or not. So we have, right now, because the space is a premium, which we are looking at, which books, we have that do circulate, that's something that's very important to us. So, and we will look at all of those new items that way.
All right. Anything else?
I think that's all. That's not what we talk about later.
All right. We'll go to number 8, Board of Supervisors report. I will report that there's nothing new to report, which is always good news. And then we'll go to our open issues. You will find a copy in front of you. The county audit was completed this past year. Now, this is the 2018, because we've had a couple, sort of back-to-back thing that got backed up. This audit was part of the county audit. And actually, at our Board of Supervisors meeting on Tuesday night, they gave the Board of Supervisors the county portion of it. So what you have in front of you is this year's. Like all audits, as you peruse through at the very end, they will always have their finding sheets. Unless you have something you would like to...
They have a few, yes. None of them are significant. Right. That you all can look at and decide whether we want to go through with them. This is hot off the press. We got them this morning.
Yes. Okay. And I will state that in reviewing the 2016 audit and the 2017 audit, and just what little I've been able to flip through tonight, this is a much cleaner situation than we've had in the past couple years. So good kudos to Mr. Farmer. We had intentionally this is his baby. Yeah, and this is a good one.
And I was, yes. And I wasn't very worried, but I had some slight worry when it would come back. But what they basically said, a couple of things make sense. A couple of them seem kind of nitpicky, but
it's an internal control. All right. So take some opportunity to look over that, and then we'll have that on the agenda in our January meeting to discuss a few of those after we hit insurance heavy. All right. Employee handbook, position changes, etc. There's a copy, I believe, you all have in front of you.
Yeah, I gave everybody a copy of the modified and current job descriptions we have, all blanked out. There's no names attached to them. Mm-hmm. So if you want to kind of look at it through those. There's a couple of items we looked at. I mean, like, I know there were questions as to what library assistant one, library assistant two, and things like that meant.
Yeah.
I made some, base level changes on some of them. So library assistant with no number does just basic public service type work or technical services work. We have some of those that are part-time. We don't have any of them that are full-time at present. Library assistant one has the same thing as library assistant two, with added job responsibilities. They can oversee at least one particular library function. For example, ILL or publicity, things like that. Library assistant two requires more experience and again, more responsibility to a certain level, like work on the annual report. We have someone who basically manages records a little bit and does troubleshooting, contacts with vendors and things like that. And then library assistant three, if we have one of those, would be someone who's more of a department head. And the branch managers would be kind of in that same level. And all of them say assistant because at present, none of them have a library degree. If someone receives a library degree, they would change the term to librarian, but the numbers would stay the same. It might affect, probably it would affect compensation to some level, but it does not change the duties. Mm-hmm.
So currently, everyone that we have employed full-time, part-time, would be very easily classified in one
yes.
of these. Okay.
Even the ones that are like their own thing, like maintenance or financial mm-hmm. assistant, things like that. The one major change, which we had talked about previously, were what employees are exempt and which are non-exempt.
Mm-hmm.
I went, except for maintenance, everyone else that is full-time for the library, I have changed to exempt because they all exhibit their own kind of control, white-collar type duties, mm-hmm. and meet the criteria for an exempt employee, which does not mean that because they're an exempt employee that I expect them to work overtime. But on this, a few occasions where that might happen because we have a program at night or something, some weather issue that comes up, then it will be covered and more easily able to deal with the timesheets and such.
Okay.
And one other thing, according to that, is that we have made some modifications like prior with our budget line for personnel. We had a lot of special projects over the summer during the implementation of the new ILS through the major weeding program we had and the training sessions we had. So we had a lot of part-timers who got more hours than they would typically get. So we have cut way back on the kind of the floater positions.
Mm-hmm.
Marion specifically, we have kind of the old guards, the employees who are full-time will basically be managing the full public services on their own. Unless someone's ever sick or gone or something like that, we can still add floaters as needed.
And, obviously, that's common sense.
Yeah.
That's the way you run an organization. Yeah. There are times when you need more help, times when you need less. I just hate that some people turn that into rumors and inappropriate issues. But like I said, we appreciate your attention to the detail. Does anyone have any questions on these? I would say take your packet with you, give it a good once over or twice over, and then we'll have that on the agenda for January to discuss, to see if everybody feels comfortable with it. I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the intent is to kind of get things a little simpler,
streamline
that massive, scale that we were looking at. Just make things a little easier to follow. Well, we're not a library in Richmond or a library in Smith County. All right. So along with the audit, some very good reading material.
Can't wait.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. Library rearrangement plan, or employee handbook. I skipped one.
Yep.
And position changes and descriptions.
Which is essentially the stuff we did.
What we had. So then we'll go to C, library rearrangement plans.
Which we have largely spoken about already.
Yes.
However, some of the other things we're looking at would be we are moving in Marion the video collection to a different spot. If you've seen where they are now, they were The box sets were behind the desk in the, you know, the circulation office. Other videos, the children's ones are in the children area. They stay where they're going to stay. The other ones were kind of on these low shelves to the left as you come in the front door, which had a dead end in one corner, so you get, you know, some traffic issues with people looking for videos. And we have many, many people that look for videos. So we have moved the periodicals over to the area where the movies were. We have taken the box sets out of that office, and we put everything together on the wall where the periodicals used to be. So we're still waiting on some extra additional shelving to finish that, but a lot of it has already been moved to that area, and we've gotten a lot of good comments about that from the people who use our videos. And so everything we're trying to do is to make things more accessible and easier for our people and our patrons. So I've been very, you know, very pleased at how that's worked out. You know, our staff has worked very hard on that, and you know, it's always good to hear some good feedback from the new things we're trying.
All right. Any questions? So, new business programming. You received your emails and packets of a lot of the flyers, but you want to catch us up on anything in particular?
We kind of scaled back a little for December because of the holiday stuff. But there was, you know, again, if you look at the advertising, there's tons of programming going around. I'm always amazed at the creativity and the effort put out by our people for our programming, which, you know, again, works not only to serve our mission of literacy and the love of books for our, you know, children and, you know, patrons of all ages, but it also gets more people in the door. And especially when we look at the annual report, you look at what, you know, the number of people that we have using our, you know, our programming is astounding. And it just continues to be a focal point of what we do.
All right. Any questions about programming?
Some of the art ones are great. I mean, that's... I couldn't paint a lick, but what they do are awesome.
Your stuff's all amazing. She has scales.
Good at following instructions.
I gave up.
I'm a paint by the numbers man myself.
Yeah, me too.
All right, we have statistics and our 2018 survey. You have your November statistics.
And I will say this number of statistics, it shows a big drop off percentage wise from programming. We had a lot of big programs before.
Before, yeah.
So, you know, all the Halloween things and the Boo Bash. And so we had lots and lots of large scale programs. So that's kind of, you know, not really reflective of what we're doing.
All right. And do keep in mind that weather plays a big part in those monthly variations.
Yes.
Where December, I'm sure, next meeting will have a decrease because of the major snow that we've been having. And then we have a copy of the 2018 survey, mm-hmm. which I believe is something that you have to do online and send in to the
state. It is required by the, you know, the Library of Virginia to get them to receive the monies that they help us with.
Mm-hmm.
It also, as all the Virginia ones and all the other state ones are compiled into a federal report. And so there's lots of information here, and I'll give a shout out to Helen and Todd Owen, so who did a lion's share of this stuff, and it's also our financial staff who put together the financial reports. This stuff is not fun, and but it is good information. I haven't had a chance to actually look through it all myself, but I was trying to find the where it actually has, like, you know, like circulation numbers and patron count and things. Generally, you want what pages are going to be?
Right here, I opened this.
Oh, you got to do it.
Services circulation.
Okay, very good. All right.
It's like three pages in.
Okay. All right. So, a lot of stuff.
Collections is 7.1.710.
Right.
That talks about the collection that we have and the number of items. And then under services, you've got like the total books and physical materials and stuff like that, and then like the division of children and homeschool stuff, reading programs is 10.1 to 10.12, and then there's like a winter one that we don't do. And summer reading is under the reading programs 3, which is 10.18 to 10.53, and that's going to be, there's adult and children's in that one.
So we had 13,500 participants in our programs last year. And I expect more for this fiscal year.
It's a valuable service that we provide for the county. All right. Does anyone have any questions or comments? And like I said, when you kind of work your way through it, give Mr. Farmer a call or at the next meeting if you see anything that you want to highlight or ask a question about.
One thing you may actually see is like, you know, computer usages. A lot of those have gone down because we can't track Wi-Fi. And a lot of people, so more people are using their own devices and using our Wi-Fi services than are using our internal computers. So we're looking at actually, you know, making some changes, especially in Marion. We're probably going to take out some of our computer stations so that we can move the reference desk closer to those and in a more secure location, and also put our copy machine, fax machine, and stuff in that same region area so they can more better monitor the machines.
Well, everybody walks in with their computer now in their hand.
Yep. Right, so, in their pockets.
Yes. All right. Well, this has been a very fast meeting to this point.
Now we get to the good stuff, though.
Unless I've missed something, we have to set the time and location for our next meeting, which I believe would be the second Thursday, would be January the 11th. And I believe it's Marion's
turn.
For January the 11th. And do we want to set that at 5:30 or 6?
Is that the 10th or the 11th?
I was thinking it was the 11th.
Thursday, January
December.
10th.
Yeah, the 10th falls on a Saturday, I think.
Yeah, the 11th is.
So is it the
11th? The 10th. January 10th.
That's because I'm looking at 2018, which is no good.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
It's like one of our calendars is off.
I'm looking. That's my fault. So it would be January the 10th at the Marion branch, and we'll set that for 5:30, or is that all right with you, Ms. Worley?
Yes.
Okay. So January the 10th at 5:30 will be our next meeting. Is there anything else before we go into closed session? And if anybody would like to hang around, closed session probably won't be more than 20 minutes, I wouldn't think. We'll move as quickly as we can.
Well, Harris is holding me hostage. I'm stepping her vehicle.
Well, I promise we'll go quick.
She's my chauffeur today.
She's snugging. Something
wrong. Rick, I'd just like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and keep in mind what it's really about.
Absolutely.
Again, y'all are doing a fantastic job. It was nice to meet Mr. Copenhagen and Miss Joe. And if you need to know anything or just curious, talk to Mr. Farmer, Mr. Blevins. There's a lot of stuff out on the street. Just don't pay attention to it. The board
thank you.
Their
intentions we're glad you
are doing
came.
All good for the libraries, all of them.
All right. Well, can I have a...
It's really nice to meet all of you.
Oh.
We've been one or two here and there, and I recognize you from somewhere. I don't know where we're from. And so it's just...
She has a beautiful singing voice.
And she does a lot of things. So
good to know.
But anyway, she's...
Oh, yes.
Yes.
She's... So it's a pleasure to meet all of you.
She used to say she's
we appreciate you coming
wedding.
Out.
Now she's planning on seeing me at my funeral.
Got high hopes yet.
All right. All right. Well, can I get a motion to go into closed session to discuss A1 personnel? And we don't need A7 legal. So it'd be A1 personnel.
I'll make that motion.
We have a motion. And I have a second, and that's unanimous.
Shut her up and step outside.
All right, we'll.
in August where I, you know, the day after that was the big program with the fair movie.
Good.
Ms. Avery, and I was like, man, that was great.
Yeah, that's a great.
Well, just for formality's sake, if I could get a motion that we discussed A1 personnel in closed session.
Yeah, I'll make that motion.
We have a motion and a second, and that's unanimous. We have our date set for our next meeting, so a motion to adjourn. We have one and a second, and unanimous.
Gotcha.
All right, and everybody drive very careful.
Thanks, Helen.
You're welcome.
Yes.
It's smooth, didn't it?